This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Hey, Jessica, do you know the best part of when the Brewers play the Cubs in Chicago?
I do not. What is it?
We don't have to deal with all those Illinois drivers coming up here, like when they're playing at AmFam. That's the best part of it. But, you know, hopefully today, go Brewers. Let's see. It is Cinco de Mayo. And, you know, do you like Mexican food?
I do, yeah.
What's your favorite?
I mean, I like everything. Tacos, burritos, but I think tortas might be.
Ooh, tortas.
Or tostadas.
Oh.
Both the teas.
Those sound like a lot of work to make. I kind of like fajitas.
Oh, okay.
You know, where you can just sort of put in one pan, you put your onions and your bell peppers and your meat or shrimp or chicken, whatever it is, and then you just throw it all on a shell and you're good to go. But anyway, if you are thinking about what you're going to make for dinner today, especially if you've got a family and you've got kids and you want to do it together, we've got a solution for you. It is Cinco de Mayo, and if you are thinking about what do I make for dinner to entertain the family and to enjoy the holiday, joining us is Jody Danan. She is with Create Kids Club, and you've got all those recipe secrets. So let's talk a little bit about what can we do right now if we want to make a great, healthy Cinco de Mayo dinner for tonight.
There's so many different ideas, especially if you head over to the site Create Kids Club. Everything I'm talking about, you're going to find right there. But one of my favorites that kids love are taco cups. It's just taking a regular taco, but making it shaped differently. You use soft tortilla shells in muffin tins and add your taco seasonings or flavorings inside of that and bake it. It's just a fun little switch up on tacos. I also love a walking taco casserole, and you can even still get something in the crock pot today. Crock pot taco casserole is always a hit and doesn't take much time at all.
How easy is that to make?
It literally takes the time to brown some turkey or beef and then add in some canned goods, refried beans, some black beans, some corn. It takes under 10 minutes to assemble, and you can either let it cook all day or you can turn it to high and let it cook for as little as 2 hours.
Well, you know, one of the great things about Mexican food is it's usually pretty easy ingredients to have on hand.
Absolutely. I love Mexican cuisine because so many of the staples are naturally gluten-free, so it makes things super easy, and everybody enjoys the flavors.
Now, how do you get your family involved, especially if you've got kids under 10 or so?
Oh my gosh, there's so many different ways. Kids love cooking. They love spending time with their family. I like starting all the way from the grocery store, bringing them, letting them help pick out the recipe, let them help grocery shop, and then once you get time to do the recipe, let them chop the vegetables with kids safe knives, let them stir things, let them mash things, even a salad, they can tear lettuce. Kids, when they're involved, they are so, so proud of what they are serving, and they're much more likely to give it a try that way, too.
What are you making today, Jody?
I am actually going to go ahead and make that crockpot taco casserole. That's a really big favorite in my home, and it really can be customized for each child, too, with the different toppings that they decide to put on it.
Well, you are, of course, a registered dietitian in addition to being a mom right here in Wisconsin. And you've got a website called Create Kids Club. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I love to call it an online kitchen where feeding kids gluten-free is made easier with simple recipes and kids cooking ideas. My daughter has celiac disease, so that portion of this has become super important to my family, and I love helping others navigate this difficult diagnosis. Head to createkidsclub.com, and you will be able to search all kinds of recipes from breakfast, lunch, dinner, desserts, to items that kids can make. In each recipe, you're going to find tips on how kids can easily get involved in that recipe, because I think it's important that they can learn at a young age to actually make real meals. And in many homes, it's important. Sometimes the older kids do need to be making foods, and we try to make that really easy for them.
Jody Dana, happy Cinco de Mayo to you.
You as well.
And Isaac, our producer, I know you're looking forward to having a lot of good Mexican food today. But what you're really looking forward to is a margarita. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking with a leading Milwaukee mixologist about how to make a perfect margarita. So get your pencils and paper out, because we're going to share that recipe with you. We're also going to be talking about how Cinco de Mayo began later on this morning when we talk with Marquette history professor Sergio Gonzalez. Thursday night, of course, was a heartbreaker for all of us Milwaukee Bucks fans. And I talked with Mark Cass. Now, he's now with Team Lammy, and he is also the director of the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. And we talked a little bit about how the loss on Thursday night might affect the future of some of the players for the team. Also, our consumer expert, Michelle Reinen, is going to caution you about purchases you might make at a garage sale. Rich Kirshen from the Milwaukee Business Journal has an update on the Northridge Mall's demolition and what happens next. Also, Matt Miller is going to join us. He talks about the Fall Guy. And also, speaking of falls, Matt's going to speculate if there's going to be two eliminations on next week's Top Chef. We'll also be celebrating an everyday hero with Wisconsin Morning News' Eric Bilstead. We'll look back at the week in review. Isaac, of course, is here pushing buttons and waiting for that margarita. Jessica Gatzo is in the newsroom. And in just 2 minutes, it's Mike Spaulding with sports. Right now, it's 8:14 and 52 degrees at WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk. The Milwaukee Brewers lose the Chicago Cubs 6-5 Saturday. May have come in a loss, but Blake Perkins had himself a day at the plate.
Three balls, two strikes, the pitch, swing, drive, right field, back, Tuchman, track, Tuchman, wall, Tuchman, gone! Into the basket, a two-run home run, Blake Perkins. How do you do? This is a two-run game. 5-3 Chicago in the seventh.
Yeah, that was as close as it would get. The Brewers again lose 6-5 Saturday. The two teams wrap up their three-game weekend series this afternoon on Chicago's north side. Coverage on WTMJ starts at 12:45. First pitch from Wrigley set for 1:20. Around Major League Baseball, the Cardinals fall to the White Sox 6-5. The Pirates come out on top against the Rockies 1-0. The Reds, they lose to the Orioles 2-1. And a stunner at the Kentucky Derby. Mystic Dan wins the 150th Derby Saturday. The horse was an 18-1 shot to win the whole thing. And over in the NBA, the Minnesota Timberwolves topped the Denver Nuggets 106-99. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
You know, one of the highlights of my year is watching the Kentucky Derby. I really enjoy it. I look forward to it. I love horses. I love horse racing. And what a race that was yesterday. I mean, you had three horses, and it was literally by a nose, and you could kind of see the one horse, he sort of, I'm sure the jockey had him do it, sort of lifted his head up, and that's how that horse won. It was just a really exciting race. All right, it's 8:17. We've got 53 degrees at WTMJ. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we are going to hear from Rich Kirshen from the Milwaukee Business Journal. What's happening at Northridge Mall? He's going to tell you about it. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. Boy, that sun is shining this morning. As I was driving east, it was, get the blinders on, because it was pretty bright out there, and it's going to stay sunny all day. We're going to get up to about 62 degrees closer to the lake, and as you go further inland, about 67 for a high. Then tonight, clear, down to 46. Tomorrow, another nice day, sunny and pleasant. Getting up as high as 72 degrees inland, 66 near the lake. Then on Tuesday, it looks like we might have a chance of some showers and storms under mostly cloudy skies at temperature hovering right around 70 degrees. On Wednesday, another chance of showers and storms, partly cloudy, again, as temperatures right around 70. And Thursday, another chance of showers and storms, cloudy, dropping down to 58 degrees. Currently in Franklin, we have 51 degrees. In Elm Grove, it's 51. Cedarburg, you've got 51, and we have 54 degrees at 8:21 on WTMJ. It's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with Rich Kirshen. He's a reporter with the Milwaukee Business Journal. And boy, it finally happened, Rich, where demolition has started at Northridge Mall. What are you hearing are the latest developments of that project?
Yes, they started exterior demolition in March on the Boston store, which is one of the anchors at the mall. The city of Milwaukee, which did acquire the property after many years of trying to do so through the courts, just released a request for bids for asbestos removal and demolition of the remaining buildings. They're hoping to wrap up the first stage of demolition pretty soon, and then the whole demolition is supposed to be completed by fall of 2025. So it's a huge project, and it's going to take a long time to just take it down.
Any idea what they're going to put there in its place?
Well, the city wants to redevelop the property. It certainly could be some retail could go back in there. Housing, multifamily housing definitely is a possibility. Or, I mean, any number of things have been suggested over the years. You know, warehouses, manufacturing could be, it's a huge property, so we'll have to see.
Talking about things that are being developed, Harley-Davidson's headquarters has gone largely unused since the pandemic, but it looks like they're going to be doing something there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, Harley-Davidson a couple of years ago launched a electric motorcycle business called LiveWire. Harley owns about 90% of the company, and their main office has been in Silicon Valley in California. They also have employees at the Harley-Davidson Research and Development Center in Wauwatosa. And Harley just announced, and LiveWire just announced, that they are going to consolidate those offices at the Harley-Davidson historic headquarters on Milwaukee's west side, and that's going to happen the second half of this year. They're not saying how many people are going to be there. There used to be hundreds of employees who worked there, but the company's had a remote work, hybrid work policy since the pandemic, and people never really went back into that building. The white-collar staff who are working hybrid are mostly in Wauwatosa, so it's definitely positive to get some activity back in that building.
Well, speaking of positive activity, let's move to Mount Pleasant, where Microsoft is closer to announcing its next phase. What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, actually, this came up with WEC Energy, which owns We Energies. They had their earnings call this past week, and Gale Klappa, the executive chairman of the company, is also on the Milwaukee 7 Regional Economic Development Group, which has been active in getting new development in Mount Pleasant and other places around southeast Wisconsin. And We Energies also is going to be providing the power for this Microsoft data center. So Microsoft already is underway with the first phase of their project, but what Gale Klappa said this week was he's anticipating within the next few weeks they're going to be announcing next stages. There's already some preliminary approvals from the Village of Mount Pleasant for another 100 acres that will be developed by Microsoft, and then beyond that they have another 1,000 acres. So definitely more to come and big things.
We're talking with Rich Kirchen. He's a reporter with the Milwaukee Business Journal and our Tri-County Contracting Hotline. And let's turn to trains and planes and even a few ships, because that first ship, cruise ship, I should say, of the season docked on May 1st right here in Milwaukee. How's it looking this year as far as visits from vessels from abroad?
Yes, it's the Viking Octantis, which is a ship that Viking built just to take tourists throughout the Great Lakes, which we take for granted, of course, being on the Great Lakes. But this gets about 12,000 people a year into Milwaukee the last few years. It's become a new business, a new tourist destination. They land in the port of Milwaukee and then tour the city. And it's really cool, if you haven't been down there, to see these big cruise ships docked right here. So they're expecting 27 vessels to dock here this season, which is a little bit below. It's been as high as 33 2 years ago, and last year I think it was 30. So, I mean, still in the same range and still a, you know, big new thing in town.
I was talking with friends from Austria not long ago, Rich, and I said something to them about taking a cruise on the Danube. And they said, who wants to see that? We want to come and see the Great Lakes in America.
Yes, our inland oceans right here.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's turn our attention to those planes, because Mitchell is going to add a low-cost summertime route just in time for vacation. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, well, if it's not hot enough in Milwaukee this summer, you can go down to Dallas-Fort Worth on Spirit Airlines. So they're going to be starting service July 11th on Saturdays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays on an A320 174-seat plane. There's also talk that perhaps people in Texas want to come up here and cool off a little bit.
Well, spend a little beach time. That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Sure. Yeah.
And then they could catch a baseball game while they're here as well. Finally, another way to get in and out of Milwaukee is on Amtrak, and they're just now announcing another destination that you can take all the way from Chicago up to Minneapolis.
Yeah, starting May 21st, they're calling it the Borealis. Right now, if you're in Milwaukee and you want to take the Amtrak to the Twin Cities, it's on the Empire Builder route that goes through the Twin Cities and then out west. And then, of course, we have the Hiawatha that runs multiple times a day between Milwaukee and Chicago. This will be the train that goes all the way from the Twin Cities through Wisconsin, including Milwaukee, Sturtevant, Mitchell Airport, down to Chicago. So it will be essentially, as far as Milwaukee passengers are concerned, it's a second trip per day to the Twin Cities, $41 for a one-way ticket.
Do they say how long that'll take?
No, I would say a long time.
Lots of stops.
Based on the one time that I was on the Empire Builder, just going to the Twin Cities.
Rich Kirchin from the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's great to have you here.
Great to be with you.
827, 53 degrees. Wait, you listen to that story, Isaac, with a great deal of interest because of the ships docking here in Milwaukee. What about the ship you're telling me about is leaving next Sunday?
No. Not
here in Milwaukee.
No, this ship doesn't leave until early next year.
Oh.
But it's departing from Miami. It's a nude cruise that, from Norwegian Cruise Lines, I believe.
Oh, we'll have to ask Escorts Gray about that on the Fox World Travel Show. But of course, a nude cruise that would give a whole new meaning to the word poop deck. Okay, it's, 54 degrees at WTMJ. And welcome back to Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. I'm Libby Collins. Still ahead this half hour, we're going to be talking with Matt Miller. And will there be two eliminations this week on Top Chef? We'll get his thoughts on that. Before we do anything else, though, what a week it was. Protests broke out across the country. There was an active shooter in Mount Horeb. And the Bucks lose in six. It's a Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
That is the sound of roughly 100 protesters outside the library on UW-Milwaukee's campus.
A cardboard sign off the corner of Kenwood and Downer welcomes people to the Milwaukee Liberated Autonomous Zone.
We are here to stay, and we will not move until those demands are met.
Law enforcement officials are now dismantling tents at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Things got a little tense this morning.
Hundreds of New York City police officers in riot gear moving into Columbia University.
As president, I will always defend free speech, and I will always be just as strong in standing up for the rule of law.
The LAPD declaring a citywide tactical alert last night as officers in riot gear responded to a massive crowd at UCLA.
Flashbangs being fired overhead. We've seen a few non-lethal rounds that have been fired at people.
Oh, look at that. Somebody just took a pallet to the head.
Unrest on campuses, it's kind of an April tradition.
10 years after his brother was killed, Nate Hamilton says his family still doesn't have justice.
Justice would have been, Christopher Manny seeing a day in court for us. Whether it was a good outcome or a bad outcome, I feel like justice still should be played out in the courtroom.
Oh, and now we have some punches being thrown as Abner Uribe and Siri into it, and the Brewers are not having it.
I think it's best if I just don't say anything right now.
The rifle is recovered with the suspect.
6-2-4 affirmed.
An active shooter report at a middle school in Dane County, Mount Horeb Middle School.
The subject never gained entry to the school building during the incident, and the subject was a student in the Mount Horeb School District.
Our community stepping up to the plate to help support capital and operational referendums that allowed us to install safety measures.
The Drug Enforcement Administration is planning to recommend reclassifying marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug alongside heroin and ecstasy to a Schedule 3 drug.
It would not legalize marijuana nationally, but it would drastically broaden access to the drug for medical and research purposes.
Smoking some of that weed.
Former President Donald Trump scheduled to visit Waukesha today.
Packed house filling up to the standing room only balconies at the Waukesha County Expo Center.
The choice for Wisconsin is simple. If you want lower costs, higher incomes, and an affordable American dream, then you have no choice but to vote for a gentleman named Donald J. Trump.
A mother and daughter were crossing the street at Tetonia and Vera when a black sedan struck them.
A person who got out of that car originally runs back to that black sedan,
gets in, and speeds off.
Every now and then you get cars going up and down the street kind of fast, but I ain't never seen an accident like that.
That is just straight bullshit. That is straight garbage. It pisses me off.
There's cameras all around us. So when people want to do wrong, they didn't understand. You're not doing wrong in a bubble.
Four police officers killed and four others injured after trying to serve felony warrants in Charlotte, North Carolina.
The Marshals Task Force was made up of federal agents and other officers from the region.
Today we lost some heroes.
They will enjoy that sweet taste of victory while the Bucks will have to indulge in the exact opposite, a bitter pill to swallow after a season high in expectations comes to an end.
Yeah, Bucks
lose.
It's always. That's for the culture.
What a week.
Sleepy Joe.
Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
And the Weekend Review is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. It's 8:39 in just a couple minutes. Do you like to go to garage and yard sales? Are you careful what you buy? We've got some tips for you. It's all ahead on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's 8:41, 54 degrees. It's going to be mostly sunny today. A high of 62 near the lake, 67 inland. Good day to get the yard cleaned up. Hey, it's warming up, and you're seeing those signs out there for those yard and garage sales. Our consumer expert from DATCAP, Michelle Reinen, is joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline. And let's talk a little bit about those garage sales. How do you go to them and do it and make sure you're protected, Michelle?
Well, there are great deals to be found at garage sales, but there are also hidden hazards out there, and we want to be sure that we're preventing that risk of injury or fire for shoppers. And one step that they can do is be aware that there can be hidden hazards. And what I'm talking about are recalled products from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. These products have the potential to cause injury and, in some cases, death. Hazards can include flammability, electrocution, choking, strangulation, unsafe amounts of lead or other chemicals, for children, loose magnets, and so many more things. So it's important when you go to garage sales, look for the great deal, but check out the products thoroughly. And that means checking to see if it's been recalled as well.
Now, how do you check to find out if it's been recalled?
Well, there is a great website that the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has set up, saferproducts.gov. You can make sure you have this link on your mobile device, go download the app so you are available. And there they'll have all the recalls and a searchable database that you can search by brand. You can look by product type. So maybe you're looking at cribs because you're expecting a child or a grandchild and you want to have a crib in the home. So you can just sort by cribs or children's products and then go through and take a look at the item that's right there in the driveway and see if it's been recalled. Now, just because it's been recalled doesn't mean it isn't still safe. Maybe the individual who's selling it has gotten a repair kit and taken care of the issue. So go ahead, check it out, see if it's been dealt with. But if you're unsure, that's something you want to be sure that you don't enter into the home in that hidden hazard category.
Are there any other things that you should check for if you're buying things at a garage or a yard sale?
Yeah, go ahead, check battery compartments for sign of corrosion. And if it's a toy that a small child could get involved with, be sure that that compartment actually screws closed so they can't gain access. Look for signs of damage or repaired as it relates to wires and cords. Be sure that protective coating is there and uncut, unbent. Test appliances and electronics on site before buying them. Make sure they work. That's just saving your dollars. And then avoid toys and other products that have chipping paint, that they could contain lead. Look for sharp metal parts and corners. Now, some may be collecting these as antiques and keeping them on a shelf in a way, but if they're to be engaged with children, be sure that you're taking that extra precaution and keeping those hazards away.
And let's give that consumer protection hotline, Michelle.
1-800-422-7128.
It's a sunny day out there. We're already up to 56 degrees, 8:45 on WTMJ. And just coming up in a minute, Mike Spaulding in sports.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk. The Milwaukee Brewers lose the Chicago Cubs 6-5 Saturday. May have come in a loss, but Blake Perkins had himself a day at the plate.
Three balls, two strikes, the pitch, swing, drive, right field, back, Tuchman, track, Tuchman, wall, Tuchman, gone! into the basket, a two-run home run, Blake Perkins. How do you do? This is a two-run game. 5-3 Chicago in the seventh.
Yeah, that was as close as it would get. The Brewers again lose 6-5 Saturday. The two teams wrap up their three-game weekend series this afternoon on Chicago's north side. Coverage on WTMJ starts at 12:45. First pitch from Wrigley set for 1:20. Around Major League Baseball, the Cardinals fall to the White Sox 6-5. The Pirates come out on top against the Rockies 1-0. The Reds, they lose to the Orioles 2-1. And a stunner at the Kentucky Derby. Mystic Dan wins the 150th Derby Saturday. The horse was an 18-1 shot to win the whole thing. And over in the NBA, the Minnesota Timberwolves top the Denver Nuggets 106-99. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's 8:47, 56 degrees, going to be sunny. We're going to get up to the upper 60s today. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we've got Matt Miller. And have you seen the promos for the movie The Fall Guy? Looks kind of like a fun movie. Well, Matt's going to tell us all about it right here on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
It's time to check in on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline with Matt Miller. He, of course, is the pop culture editor and media critic at onmilwaukee.com. And Matt, we've seen a lot of promos for this one. It looks kind of fun. The Fall Guy. Now, there was a TV show by that name. Is there any connection?
There is. It's very loose, and do not feel you need to be a fan of the original Lee Majors show or anything like that. It is just basically kind of remaking the basic premise of what if there was a stunt guy. But it's really fun. I think people forget that Hollywood blockbusters can be more about, you know, people and romance and exciting action and not just, you know, continuity in a superhero story and something like that, you know? And that's what The Fall Guy is. It is just an insanely charming movie star movie where, I mean, if you liked Ryan Gosling in Barbie, you will love him again here. He is so funny, so effortlessly entertaining. I think he's one of our best movie stars right now. Indeed, and The Fall Guy just confirms that. And he's great with Emily Blunt as well. Emily Blunt, who is kind of similar to Ryan Gosling in that they're both just really great scene partners. They're both just so effortlessly charismatic and charming, and they just spark really well with people on screen. And the two of them together, it's a really fun, charming movie. And this is the first time we haven't had a superhero movie start the summer movie season since, like, 2006. I am unfortunately not kidding. Pretty much every, not including 2020 and 2021, which were obviously the weird pandemic years, but other than that, every single summer movie season has begun with a Marvel movie of some kind, whether it be a Spider-Man movie or a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie or an X-Men movie. Yeah, it's been a really long time since we had, and I mean, this is essentially an original movie. I mean, I know, yeah, it's technically based on an old TV show, but it's not like anyone is like, oh, I've been dying for a Fall Guy movie, you know? This isn't a movie where people have been like, oh, yeah, the IP is the star. The movie stars are the star, and you kind of miss those kind of movies.
Well, of course, we're still a couple weeks away from Memorial Day, that big summer blockbuster weekend that kind of sets the tone. Looking at the rest of what's going to be coming in the next month or so, do you think that things are going to be more superhero, or are we going to see more original stories?
Yeah, that's what kind of makes this summer very scary if you're Hollywood, but very kind of exciting if you're a movie fan, is this isn't like most summer movie seasons where it's all superheroes and all sequels and all, you know, obvious franchise stuff. There's a lot of kind of interesting pitches here. You know, obviously we're starting the summer with The Fall Guy, and the quality is good. Hopefully people show up at the box office too. But then you've got a new Planet of the Apes movie, which those have been hits in recent years, but those aren't exactly, you know, guaranteed billion-dollar global smashes. You have the Ryan Reynolds kids movie, imaginary friend movie, If, which I think is going to do really well just because it's been so long since there's been a movie for parents to take their kids to in theaters. You have Mad Max Furiosa, the new Mad Max movie that, you know, Fury Road is a beloved movie, was a hit. but not exactly, again, you know, the kind of movie that a studio points to and says, ah, this is our guaranteed $1 billion. So there's kind of a lot of question marks this summer, which, like I said, if you're a bean counter, is a little stressful because there's no, you know, I think Deadpool and Wolverine is maybe the one movie that people are pointing to and being like, that's going to be the $1 billion movie, or maybe Despicable Me 4, maybe that'll be the $1 billion movie. But otherwise, there's a lot of kind of interesting stuff that hasn't really been the spotlight of Hollywood's offering recently. And in the case of The Fall Guy, I kind of miss these movies. I miss the star-based, I don't need to see five movies to understand what's going on in this one situation. It's just kind of a fun, classic watch of beautiful people do fun, exciting things on the big screen and have a great time.
Speaking of getting people into the theaters, they released some numbers on the Milwaukee Film Fest. How did they do this year?
Yeah, so they brought in about 32,000 people in attendance this year, which is their highest number since the pandemic. We love to see that number keep growing. It is still below the pre-pandemic numbers, but that's all things. That's also kind of pre-streaming or mid-streaming. And they, I believe in 2019, which was their record-setting year, they had even more venues and even more screens. So it's hard to compete with years that had more screens. But an increase in attendance is great to see. They opened an entire movie theater during the film festival. They also announced their CEO, which they are going to keep Ann Reed on board. She's going to drop the interim title and become the full-time CEO. And they're going to do another film festival next year. They already marked the dates down for that. So I guess we're just going to have to do this again next year, and I already cannot wait.
All right. Something else we can't wait for. It's Top Chef. We're getting here towards, you know, they're starting to build now with the top contestants. They were at AmFam Field, and of course, they had the racing sausages this week. What's your takeaway from that episode?
I was very concerned for Dan. I thought the local interest was going to take a hit because they can't eliminate two people right now since they brought back two people the previous episode. And Dan's dish did not seem to charm the judges that much. Unimaginative is not the kind of word you want to hear when you're up at judges' table, but he made it. He survived another week because Kevin, like an idiot, decided to make a risotto. Never make a risotto on Top Chef. I don't know if that rule applies on Top Chef France, but he should have known that coming in. I don't know why risotto is such a dish of death.
Have you ever tried to make it? It's not easy.
It's not easy. It requires a lot of babying. It requires a lot of care. And, you know, Top Chef is, you know, you're panicking, you're running around, you're grabbing all these other things. You can't really give it the attention it deserves. So why people insist every year on making a risotto, I do not know. But it worked out for Dan because Kevin got sent home and Dan gets to stay another week. And it's Restaurant Wars now.
Well, which is interesting because they're going to have nine contestants and they always do Restaurant Wars with four against four. So do you think maybe they'll eliminate somebody in the challenge this next week?
I do wonder if they're going to have a kind of cutthroat quick fire situation where, you know, the losing contestant goes home. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with that. And if this is when we finally get some heated drama between the contestants, we've talked all year, but there hasn't really been a villain. Everyone's been pretty nice so far this season, but Restaurant Wars is when you see the claws come out. Restaurant Wars is when you see people get irritated and get paired up with people they'd rather not get paired with, and the tensions are high. I think next week could be our most explosive episode so far, which in fairness, the episodes haven't been very explosive so far beyond my brain exploding trying to understand what chaos cuisine is.
And if you want to watch Top Chef with Matt Miller, you've got a viewing party this week.
Absolutely. We'll be there 8 o'clock at Zocalo in Walker's Point. We always have a great time. There's great food, great drinks. We even had the racing sausages this past week. It was a really good time, and we hope to see you there again sometime this season.
Matt Miller, always great to have you right here with us on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
Thanks for having me.
I'm kind of excited next Sunday. We're going to talk to somebody who was at Restaurant Wars and tells us everything that went on behind the scenes. But I can't tell you anything more than that. But that'll be next Sunday. We'll talk to them. All right, 8:57, up to 56 degrees. Lots of pollen out there today, but at least it's nice. So if you're doing yard work, make sure you take the allergy pill. And coming up here after the news, all right, so it's Cinco de Mayo. And by the way, next hour, we're going to give you that perfect margarita recipe But we're talking with a history professor from Marquette who tells us exactly why, well, what the background of Cinco de Mayo is and who really celebrates it and why. You might find this interesting. That's all I had on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins.
Honestly, Jessica, my head is spinning. You talked about that story with the police pursuit on Friday night where, again, another person killed in this. Innocent, right? I mean, this is just
right.
a van that was just driving down the street and was hit by this criminal. I'm sorry, I'm going to call him that, who was being pursued by police. Did they catch the guy who was driving that car?
Yes, it sounds like it was a brief foot pursuit. Like the suspect fled and the police shortly thereafter arrested him on foot. They also found a gun in his car. It was a 25-year-old male suspect.
And again, we've got one person who's dead. Innocent.
Yes.
Just driving down the street. And then another passenger in that van also is in critical condition, did you say?
Right. So there were two vehicles that were a victim of the crash, a van that rolled into another vehicle after it was hit. So the driver of that van that rolled over is in, they're calling it serious condition based on the latest police reports.
Unbelievable. And that's in addition to the two pedestrians.
That was a different crash.
Yeah, that was a different
one. Well, that was a different crash.
Yeah, but that's
That's an addition. That so this one we're talking about here with the police chase was Friday night. But there was a separate pedestrian-only related crash, only pedestrian fatalities on Sunday morning.
Two people.
Yes.
The driving in this area, it's got to stop. I don't even know what they can do anymore to stop this. This is just out of control. You know, on the Week in Review, of course, we played once again what the mayor had to say. And I don't think I've ever heard him that emotional.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are feeling that way. There's just a lot of innocent people just going about their business, doing whatever they do. And these tragedies are occurring because of these people who are just totally out of control. I'm speechless by this.
Yeah, it's the second pedestrian fatality crash in less than a week. It hasn't even been a week since that 4-year-old.
Yeah, I mean there should be true outrage by the people of this city because of what's going on. All right, it's 9:09. Let's talk about something a little more pleasant. It is Cinco de Mayo, and are you celebrating at all? I mean, do you do the food thing or anything like that?
I don't usually, but I enjoy Mexican food regularly anyways, so I was just kind of like, oh, right.
I'm trying to decide what kind of food to make tonight, because my husband, what's for dinner? He forgot to ask me when I was leaving at 5 o'clock this morning, what's for dinner? Because usually that's the question of the day. But I'm thinking maybe I'm going to make fajitas.
I love
those. Yeah. But, you know, there's a history to this day, and a lot of people celebrate it, but the question is, who celebrates it and why? And we found out. Many people are celebrating Cinco de Mayo today. But what exactly is it? Joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Assistant Professor of History at Marquette University, Sergio Gonzalez. And he's written a couple of books, including Strangers No Longer, Latino Belonging and Faith in 20th Century Wisconsin. And also, he wrote the book Mexicans in Wisconsin. And you are a real expert as far as the culture in our area. What exactly is Cinco de Mayo?
Well, thanks for having me, Libby. Cinco de Mayo is a celebration that goes back to the defeat of the French army in 1862 in the city of Puebla, Mexico. In 1862, the French military, revered as one of the greatest militaries in the world, was invading Mexico, and the Mexican army made this valiant effort to stop the army. And in this one big battle, they did. Ultimately, they lost the war. But for the people of Puebla and the people of Mexico, 1862 was this really big deal. Since then, there's been a commemoration of this big battle on Cinco de Mayo, on the 5th of May. And throughout the country of Mexico and among many Mexicans, this is an important day. However, it is not actually Mexican Independence Day, as I think a lot of Americans sometimes confuse it to be.
Why does it seem it's celebrated more in the United States than in Mexico?
That's a great question. You know, it's celebrated within the city of Puebla kind of as a regional holiday, but across the country of Mexico, most Mexicans recognize September 16th as the actual National Day of Independence, which goes back to the Declaration of Independence in 1810 when they broke off from the country of Spain. But here in the United States, Mexican immigrants have been celebrating Mexican Independence Day since, well, really the 19th century. Here in Milwaukee, Mexican immigrants have been celebrating Cinco de Mayo since the 1920s and 1930s, when the first Mexican settlers really began to arrive in the city and make their homes on the south side of Milwaukee. There's a lot of different reasons why I think this is picked up as a special day for some Mexican immigrants. I think it's an opportunity to celebrate a really important military victory in the nation's history, but it's also one that's become very commercialized. In the 1980s, a lot of beer companies took up Cinco de Mayo as an opportunity to not necessarily celebrate Mexican culture so much as to promote their products. And so since the 1980s, a lot of Americans might know Cinco de Mayo as a drinking holiday. And I think probably that's how it's more well known.
Within the culture of Mexican immigrants, particularly here in Wisconsin, how is it most frequently celebrated?
Well, I think since the 1920s and 1930s, Mexican immigrants in the city of Milwaukee and across the state have held a number of different cultural celebrations. They have here in Milwaukee in the 1930s, we have reports going back into the Milwaukee Journal of them holding big cultural dances. They might have reenactments. We have reports in the 1930s of the very small Mexican community reaching out to Milwaukee political leaders like Mayor Daniel Cohn and inviting them to their celebrations. And you can see that to this day, right? You see small parades, you see small fiestas, small parties. But again, the much larger celebration comes around September 16th, which is the National Day of Independence for the country of Mexico.
Now, your most recent book is Strangers No Longer, a Latino Belonging and Faith in 20th Century Wisconsin. How has that immigration of Latinos affected us here in this state?
Well, I think that the most important thing to know that might be surprising to many listeners is that Latinos and specifically Mexican immigrants have been in the state of Wisconsin for over 100 years. In fact, the first recognized settler from Latin America to make their home here in Milwaukee arrived in the 1880s. And our city has had a very large Latino population going back to the 1920s when tanneries, factories, and foundries first began to recruit Mexican workers to the city. And since that period, that community has become so diverse, right? So Mexican immigrants, Mexican Americans coming from Texas, Puerto Rican migrants, Cuban refugees, Central Americans, you name it. And I think maybe some people might know that today after the 2020 census, Latinos constitute the largest minority in the state of Wisconsin. And in many parts of the state, they are the only form of demographic growth that we're seeing. I mean, that, of course, affects so many different things from our businesses to our schools to the way in which people interact with
it. Is Milwaukee still a destination for new Mexican immigrants?
It is, but in a very different way. You know, back in the 20th century, Milwaukee was a destination for industrial jobs. It was a place for opportunity, and that was the case for Latin American immigrants as much as it was for Black migrants arriving from across the country, as it had been from European immigrants in the 19th century. But of course, many people know that a lot of those jobs no longer exist here in the city. And so the opportunities that exist in Milwaukee, as they exist in other blue-collar Rust Belt towns across the Midwest, are different, not as obvious, and not as plentiful, but that doesn't mean that Mexican immigrants and other immigrants from Latin America aren't going to continue to come here looking for a better life for themselves and their families.
Have to ask you, Professor Gonzalez, how do you plan to spend Cinco de Mayo?
Well, to be quite honest, I don't celebrate it. I didn't grow up celebrating it in my family, so it won't actually be a big holiday for us. I think for me and my family, we celebrate more National Hispanic Month, which falls from September 16th to October 15th. It's a period in which you really celebrate the contributions and the permanence of Latino communities here in Wisconsin. So we won't really celebrate it so much in the Gonzalez household.
Assistant Professor Sergio Gonzalez from the Department of History of Marquette University, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Olivia. Appreciate it.
It's 9:16. Coming up in just a couple minutes, it's Mike Spaulding in sports on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Sports Desk. The Milwaukee Brewers lose the Chicago Cubs 6-5 Saturday. May have come in a loss, but Blake Perkins had himself a day at the plate.
Three balls, two strikes, the pitch, swing, drive, right field, back, Tuchman, track, Tuchman, wall, Tuchman, gone! Into the basket, a two-run home run, Blake Perkins. How do you do? This is a two-run game. 5-3 Chicago in the seventh.
Yeah, that was as close as it would get. The Brewers again lose 6-5 Saturday. The two teams wrap up their three-game weekend series this afternoon on Chicago's North Side. Coverage on WTMJ starts at 12:45. First pitch from Wrigley set for 1:20. Around Major League Baseball, the Cardinals fall to the White Sox 6-5. The Pirates come out on top against the Rockies 1-0. The Reds, they lose to the Orioles 2-1. And a stunner at the Kentucky Derby. Mystic Dan wins the 150th Derby Saturday. The horse was an 18-1 shot to win the whole thing. And over in the NBA, the Minnesota Timberwolves topped the Denver Nuggets 106-99. I'm Mike Spaulding, WTMJ Sports.
Thanks a lot, Mike. It's 9:19. We're up to 57 degrees. I'm going to have your forecast right after this on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. It's going to be mostly sunny today. We're going to get up to about 67 degrees inland, 62 near the lake. Right now, we're already up to 57 at WTMJ at 9:22.
The following is a paid presentation. Advice and opinions expressed during the Sunday Sip are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.
I'm Vince Vetrano, host of Wisconsin's Morning News, and we're joined today by Dr. Mike Nolte. He's a spine specialist, a spine doctor, and one of the new guys at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. Doc, great to see you.
Vince, thanks for having me.
Let me say, welcome home. You're a local kid, Whitefish Bay, went to Marquette University High School. What brings you back?
Well, it's good to be back. I appreciate the honor and the privilege of being here. I'll say I grew up with you on my morning news, looking for Holy Family at the bottom of the snow day ticker. And
yes.
Then remember a lot of fond memories driving around town, listening to Charlie Sykes, Jeff Wagner. So this is a real privilege to be here today. It's great to be back. I've done my training, kind of been on this academic tour around Lake Michigan. So I went from Marquette High to the University of Notre Dame to the University of Michigan Medical School in Ann Arbor to Chicago, where I did my orthopedic surgery residency at Rush, and then did the final part of my training, a spine surgery fellowship at Thomas Jefferson University and the Rothman Institute in Philadelphia. I knew I wanted to come back. It's a place that's near and dear to me. It's a patient population that I wanted to give back to. It's a community that's done a lot for me, and I wanted to give something back to this community.
You know, I kind of feel the same way, and I didn't take the tour you did. I've been here my entire life, but the same thing of like where I wanted to do the news was to the people that, you know, most everybody I care about is still here in Southeast Wisconsin, and that really resonates with me. But I imagine too, Doctor, you would not be back here if you weren't in a really good place at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. Given your level of expertise, the kind of work that you want to do, you must feel supported that you have the technology to do your job, the support, the staff, all of those things at OAW.
Yeah, absolutely. We pride ourselves at Orthopedic Associates in being a premier group and one of the largest groups in the area. If you look at the list of men and women who are working with Orthopedic Associates, you'll see names like Marquette High, you'll see names like Tosa East, you'll see plenty
Thanks
of high
that.
Schools.
Appreciate it.
Shout out to the rival. Plenty of people who've grown up around here. They've done their training at world-renowned places, and they felt strongly about coming back. And I thought that said a lot. And we have providers who are specialized in their area of care. So if you have a foot and ankle issue, if you have a shoulder issue, if you have a wrist issue, if you need a joint replacement, we have providers who have done fellowship-specific training in those areas, meaning that's pretty much exclusively what they do. And I think when you have that type of provider and the numbers that we do, it really leads to nice outcomes for patients.
I want to talk to you about spine care specifically, but first in the more general, for me, you know, I went and Dr. Holub did my knee a few years ago, went back for a sports injury over the summer. He also did both of my mother-in-law's hips.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in every case, I think a barrier to care for some folks is they're afraid to go in and find out what's wrong because they don't want to be told that day, when can we sign you up for surgery? And I've never felt that way in the care that I've received and the folks that I've referred to OAW. It's always, let's find out what's happening with you. Let's lay out a series of options or treatments. I mean, Dr. Holub even said about my knee, like, a lot of people walk around with what you got. Just depends on what you want to do moving forward. I imagine you approach it the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're in good company. Dr. Holub did my grandparents' hips and knees, and you're much younger.
Thank you for that as well.
Yeah.
Right.
I think we pride ourselves in offering good but conservative care.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning patients get diagnosed with a spine issue. You know, their doctor tells them you have degenerative disc disease, you have a disc herniation. Your mind immediately jumps to, gee, do I need surgery?
Yeah.
The good news is that the vast majority of patients that I see and the majority of conditions that I can see can be successfully treated without surgery. And I don't want patients to think that just because you're seeing a spine surgeon means that you're going to be signing up for surgery. We talk about, in my clinic, kind of a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C.
Yeah.
Plan A is things like working with one of our physical therapists who specializes in spine issues. Things like medications. Oftentimes there are home exercise programs specifically designed for spine issues. That can take care of the majority of spine conditions, believe it or not. Plan B is advancing to things like injections, where, you know, under x-ray guidance, we put some steroid right where the spine or the nerves are the most irritated. And it's really not until plan C that we talk about surgery. So we have a whole list of options that are available, especially at a place like the Spine Center that we have at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin, where we can, you know, avoid surgery most of the time.
Talking with Dr. Mike Nolte of Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin this morning. Let me ask you this, Doc, because everybody's back hurts, right? Everybody's back is sore for one reason or another. When does someone know they should come see you at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin versus just, I'm 40 now or I'm 50 now or I worked out really hard?
Yeah, it's a great question, Vince, and one that we get quite often. You know, patients have maybe undergone a CT scan of their abdomen at some point or a chest x-ray, and somewhere in the background a radiologist tells them they have degenerative disc disease. I have so many patients come and say, well, Doc, I have degenerative disc disease, and it's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not so much a disease as it is like getting the gray hair on your head or losing some hairs on your head, just a part of life. And so back pain is kind of a part of life as well. Back pain, neck pain, even sciatica. The question is when to seek medical care or when to come see one of us. And I would say, you know, you're never wrong to see us. We see people who come in a wheelchair because they're totally debilitated from their pain, or people who maybe notice pain here or there that's limiting them a little bit. But I would say when your pain and discomfort is starting to adversely affect your activities of daily living, you know, you're walking through your house and struggling, or you find that you're using a cane or using a walker, when your life has taken a hit and your quality of life has taken a hit, you know, don't waste your time and come see us.
Okay, or when you're like me and you can't dunk anymore. Right. Thank you for that as well. Dr. Mike Nolte at Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. Thanks so much for coming by, Doc.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And it's 9:29 on WTMJ. And welcome back to the final half hour of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News. You know, throughout the morning we've been talking about Cinco de Mayo. Well, can't wait for this one, but about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes from now, we're going to be telling you how to make the perfect margarita for Cinco de Mayo. You're going to love this guest. It's all ahead of Wisconsin Weekend Morning News 9:36. It was a heartbreaker on Thursday night when the Bucks fell to the Indianapolis Pacers. And joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline from Sports Marketing Team Lammy and also from the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame is our good friend, Mark Cass. And Mark, I got to ask you a couple questions because this is now 2 years in a row that the Bucks have, they just haven't made it past that first round of the playoffs. Right. How is that going to affect the team business-wise?
This is not good, Libby. I mean, because you always talk about Milwaukee and its excitement and interest in the team is what sells seats, right? That's what sells tickets. That's what sells sponsors. That's what sells uniforms, shirts, hats. That's what drives that. And to not have that kind of excitement heading into the offseason is going to be hard for the team. Short-term, it needs no more playoff games. So, I mean, all of us remember 2021 and the long run of the playoffs, how much money that brought into the team, how much money that brought in for the city. I mean, from an economic impact statement, you can't overstate what that means to the city and to the team. So to not have that, to only have three home games as compared to having 12 or 13 home games, I mean, that's a huge deal for both the team and the city. But now, even as you look ahead, Libby, kind of the summertime when they start to sell their seats, which they've already started to do for 2024-25, there's just not as much enthusiasm. There's going to be a lot of questions about the team, who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. So I think the next couple of months are going to be very important for the team to have a message, to show some action, and to get that enthusiasm and excitement out, because that's what sells tickets.
It was kind of heartbreaking to see Giannis on the sidelines during this whole playoff.
Oh my God. He
has a lot of endorsements. Is the fact that he didn't play and the team lost so early on, is that going to affect him in terms of his marketing and ability to be out there as a spokesperson?
You know, I think long-term, no, because he's Giannis, and he has all this stable of things that he's doing with all the brands he's involved with, all the companies he's involved with. I think long-term, no. Short-term, yes, just because when you win championships, when you advance in the playoffs, you just get more attention, you get more notice, you get more opportunities. I don't think it's fair to say he's going to be hurt because he's Giannis. But I think short-term, yeah. I mean, he just will not see as much exposure over the next few months that he would have had if they went on a nice run and he played the starter role. Think about 21. He was everywhere, right? I mean, after the playoffs and what that all meant. But long-term, I don't think we should worry about Giannis. He'll be fine.
All right, let's talk about what happened at the end of the game on Thursday when Patrick Beverley threw that ball at a fan, and then it was thrown back, and then it was thrown back again. How is that going to affect him in terms of any potential he has for endorsements or even, you know, jersey sales and things like that?
I think it does. I think people don't like to see that. Players have a hard enough job on the court when they get involved with the fans off the court, and who knows what was said. Who knows what happened? We obviously don't know yet. But his reaction, he's a professional. He's a 12-year player in the NBA. He cannot react like that. He's got to face a suspension from the NBA. So I think a horrible move on his part. Just looks bad. And you got to learn to walk away from that kind of stuff. And it's just disappointing. I'm sure you saw some of the way he was treating reporters after the game who hadn't subscribed to his podcast. He wouldn't answer their questions. Again, I thought not the way you respond after a loss. You try to be very professional. You show respect for everybody. So I don't think he had a good night either on the court or off the court. Very bad.
I want to ask you about fan favorite Bobby Portis and what happened earlier in the week with him, too. It was another incident. Now, is that going to hurt him image-wise?
I think small because of the way he responded. He responded very well on the court. I think he took responsibility for it off the court. He apologized right away to the rest of the team. He came out to the fans and said he was wrong. He overreacted. So obviously in the moment when it happened, yes, I think it was obviously a horrible thing. I think the way you react to a thing like that is very important. Everyone kind of watches that. So I think long-term, everyone likes him. He's very, very well known in the city. He has a lot of off the court. He's very involved in Milwaukee. So I think the way he responded was good. I don't see a long impact there just because of that.
Thanks for your insight, Mark Cass from Team Lammy and the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame.
Always good to be with you, Libby, and I'll talk to you soon.
It's 9:40, 59 degrees. We'll have your forecast right after this on WTMJ. Not sure if you want to put the boat in the lake yet or not, but it is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high temperature is going to be around 62, a little bit warmer as you go further inland, 67. Then tonight, clear down to 46. Tomorrow looks sunny and pleasant with a high of 66, 72 degrees inland. Our next chance of rain is going to be on Tuesday. Currently, Elkhart Lake has 55. Lake Geneva's at 55. Lake Mills is at 55. And guess what? We have 59 degrees at WTMJ at 9:44. And, this was a fun conversation when I talked with Matt Wild from the Milwaukee Record. He told me about the time he buried a George Webb hamburger in a Milwaukee County park.
Speaking of really dumb ideas, it was a couple of years ago when the Brewers had won, I forget how many games in a row, and then the big thing is, oh, George Webb's will, give out a free burger. So there were all these stories about people who had saved their George Webb burgers from, like, 1982. They had them, like, in the freezer or whatever. Someone had their burger bronzed and, you know, put up above their fireplace. So I had the dumb idea. I'm like, hey, this is happening again. I'm going to wait in line, get my free George Webb burger, and then I'm going to bury it in the woods. And I will exhume it in 1 year just to see what it looks like. I buried it in a county park.
Without a permit.
Without a permit, yes. Okay. A year later, when the Brewers weren't doing so hot, we went back to the woods, dug it up, and I wrote an article about that. And sure enough, I don't know how long it took, a couple minutes, and it was in good fun, but Milwaukee County Parks were like, you know, you need a permit for that.
Did you get a fine?
No, we did not, thankfully, you know, but I'm on their radar.
Matt Wild and Tyler Maas from the Milwaukee Record are going to share stories about music, culture, and gentle sarcasm. That's all today at 11 o'clock on WTMJ Conversations. 9:45, coming up in just 1 minute. Mike Spaulding and sports on WTMJ.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Tequila. It's Cinco de Mayo, so what better way to celebrate this holiday than with a perfect Margarita. Joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Aris Campbell. He's the general manager and the in-house bar and spirits instructor at Cafe Corazon. And everybody in town says you guys make the best margaritas. Aris, what's the secret?
I am going to give you all the secret to making a perfect margarita. And for me, I think one of the most essential things is having fresh ingredients. Using fresh squeezed lime juice, using nice cold ice, using a quality tequila, and making a great simple syrup is going to lead to a really good drinkable margarita that you can take all day long.
Oh, now you mentioned that simple syrup. How do you make that?
Simple syrup, that's going to be the sweet aspect of a cocktail. Here we like to use equal parts sugar and water. Just take the sugar and dilute it in some water, equal parts by weight, and you'll have a nice simple syrup. It makes this very glassy texture of a liquid.
And should you use cold water or do you use boiling water?
That one's not too tough to do. Just room temperature water, stir it up, and give it some time. If you're in a rush, you can apply a little bit of heat, but just give it some time.
Now, you mentioned fresh ingredients. How many limes go into one margarita?
For me, if I have a nice big lime, you can get about a whole lime into a margarita. If you're really looking to make a lot of them, get a lot of limes. That's the fresh lime juice is going to really stretch out that cocktail quite a bit. The more fresh lime juice you can get inside the cocktail, the more bubbly and airy the margarita will taste after you shake it up, which is another super important step in making a delicious margarita.
So now you've got your limes, you've got your simple syrup. How do you put it all together?
When you get to making your margarita, you're going to go with a heavier portion of your liqueur spirit, probably about 2 ounces for it. And you can build the rest up to taste, but you're going to need triple sec, you're going to need simple syrup, and you're going to need lime juice. Those are the three essential mixers for a margarita. Equal parts or less of lime juice to your tequila spirit, and then just even less lime juice than you use for triple and simple syrup.
Now, you mentioned triple sec. What about Grand Marnier? Does that add a little extra element?
Oh, yeah. Grand Marnier is a very fancy orange liqueur, but here in Wisconsin, I like to go with the Goodland orange liqueur made by Great Lakes Distillery. I think that that has a great orange flavor, and it's local, so I always like to support.
How much salt do you put along the ridge of that glass?
Oh, that's an important one, too. After you shake it up, make sure that you got your salt dish ready. And after you shake it up, you're going to want to salt the entire rim of the glass, all the way around. So I stick it into the salt rimmer, and I give it a nice spin. When it gets that spin going, all the salt that's dry will attach to the wet rim of the glass, and you'll have a beautiful margarita.
I have to ask you, Aris, how many limes do you go through on the typical Cinco de Mayo at Cafe Corazon?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. I'm looking at a 40-pound case of limes right now, and we're going to go through at least two of these. The number inside is beyond me.
Who squeezes all of those?
We wake up early. We get here with our kitchen staff, and we start at 8 a.m. We got Doña Juana aquí. She is making lime juice from start of the morning to the end of the afternoon, more or less.
Boy, you guys have to be tired at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially on a day like today, we're really going to be feeling it.
Well, Aris Campbell from Cafe Corazon, thank you so much for joining us on this Cinco de Mayo Sunday.
Hey, thanks a lot. Come on, see us at Cafe Corazon. If you're not in the mood to shake your own margaritas, I'll do all the hard work for you.
I know it's only 9:54, but that makes me want to have a margarita. It's time to celebrate another everyday hero. And here's Eric Pilsted from Wisconsin Morning News.
Let's honor an everyday hero. Wisconsin's Morning News likes to celebrate everyday heroes. They are average John or Jane Doe's who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Let's head to St. Paul, Minnesota. Just last month, Kadir Tola was on I-94 heading into St. Paul when he saw a fiery crash scene.
That was the craziest moment of my life.
A 71-year-old man had veered off the interstate, hit a light pole. His car caught fire as it sat trapped behind the guardrail on the grass. Tola and several other people stopped on the highway, got out, and tried to pull the man from the vehicle. Tola tells KCCO,
"The worst thing could happen, I'll probably get burned a little bit or, you know, get injured a little bit, but that man could literally lose his life."
The fire kept growing. They couldn't get the doors open because of the guardrail blocking it. So they're busy pulling and pulling until finally a Minnesota DOT guy shows up, busts the window using a tool, and they pull him out through the window. There's video of this encounter. At least 7 or 8 strangers are seen helping this man and saving him. Dave Klepeta is with the DOT in Minnesota.
Everyone just stepped up and just did it. It wasn't training. It's just being in the right place at the right time.
Good showing of humanity.
I think so.
The guy driving the car is recovering. In a statement, he tells KCCO that he's alive today because several Good Samaritans saved his life. Fred Rogers used to say that whenever someone sees something scary, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. Thanks to those random Good Samaritans who helped this driver in Minnesota. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstead, WTMJ News.
Thank you, Eric. It's always good to honor those people that really deserve it. It's 9:56. It's going to be a nice day today. Sunny. We're going to have temperatures in the upper 60s. Well, if you're near the lake, it'll be more like the lower 60s. Then tonight, Claire down to 46. Tomorrow, sunny and pleasant with a high of 66. Getting into the 70s as you go further inland. Same thing on Tuesday, except that's when our chance of showers is coming along. And then on Wednesday, looks like that's when we will have more chances of showers and storms. High 68. 72 inland, and then Thursday, another chance of showers, and it's going to cool off under cloudy skies with a high of 58. We're up to 60 at WTMJ right now. We've got a busy day ahead. Coming up after the news, you're going to hear from Brian and David Wickard. They've got some good news about interest rates. They're going to break it all down for you on the Acunet Mortgage and Realty Show. That's right after the news. And then Matt and Tyler from the Milwaukee Record are going to join me at 11 o'clock this morning. These guys are a lot of fun. You can see why a lot of people enjoy reading their publication. They've been doing it now for 10 years. And we're going to celebrate those 10 years with them. And you're going to love them. They're a lot of fun. Okay, and then at noon, Brewers warm-up starts up. So that's where we're going to beat those Cubs today, right? I'm Libby Collins. Thanks for joining us today on Wisconsin Weekend Morning News.